Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7. Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually.
Oh, yeah. And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. You can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
My goodness, we're here for another week of Bachelor Recap. Yes, we are in episode 4. We'll be breaking down episode 5 tomorrow because that's obviously when it will be out. So far, Ashley, this season, I feel like we're breaking down a historically good Bachelor season. Like, it's been a lot easier to watch and to follow along with than most seasons. I also want to start this podcast, Ashley, with saying that I think you've received some unwarranted criticism over the last week. We're going to talk a lot about that, about your support of Sydney. I want to share two sides of that story.
Sure.
But today we have a lot to talk about. Here's the, as this week went on, I still firmly stand by what I've said about Sydney. I hope none of it is coming off as a personal attack against Sydney, because again, I don't know Sydney. I am only criticizing the behavior that has existed on television. Mm-hmm. But you do know Sydney. You know her personally. And I would say, out of everything else, do I still think you're wrong in some of your takes? 100%. That's why this is great. We can disagree. I don't think you're right at all. But I do think there is a place for you to be celebrated here. I'm celebrating you for standing by somebody that I know you have a personal relationship with, even in the midst of probably some scenarios. I'm assuming, I don't want to speak for you, you can answer this, that you're like, yeah, I don't know if I like that either, but I don't want to pile on to the already excruciating experience I'm sure she's having watching this show back.
Totally. Because especially in this episode, there are times where I'll say in our recap, like, I'm like, I know what happens, and I know what happens, like, from Sydney's perspective in talking to her off the mic and all that. And I can still say that I think she's made mistakes. Mainly the use of the term verbal assault and then bullying. Mm-hmm. I think that even if there's a lot of context and scenes missing, which who says that there are, I think that you do get an allusion to it though with Leia in this episode, but we'll say that for later. I think that is her biggest mistake, or throwing out those terms, because that makes, those are just really like trigger words for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think, even if Maria is saying she's dumb, she's embarrassing, blah, 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 you know, name calling. I think verbally abusive is a tad harsh and exaggerating.
Definitely. No, I would agree with that.
I think that that's her number one mistake is, you know.
I do think that is her number one mistake. I think that the theory that we've had at the beginning is she got mixed up into something and she did a really bad job at getting herself out of it or just moving on from it.
She just didn't want to.
Yeah. And you see that with the show. It's such an interesting thing when you see contestants kind of get mixed up into something that they're like, I don't like this. This is obviously causing me stress. This experience is not enjoyable for me because of this thing. Yet I can't move on from it. I literally can't put my stake in the ground and say, I'm done talking about it. Maria, we're good. Like, I don't see life the way you see life, but we're not, this is not going to be over top of me any longer because I have other things to do here. She never did it. She never put her stake in the ground and moved on. I also would say, Ashley, I think her Instagram, I think that's probably why she's receiving so much public criticism.
The gaslighting video.
Yeah, I think it was another weird choice. I think it was another odd choice. It was using words that are again very harmful and very important and very impactful on people, and making it almost like, hey, I'm the victim here. And I don't think a victim mentality ever works out well. And I think it was a really weird take. But I just want to start before we break down. One of the reasons I love co-hosting this show with you, and one of the reasons that I've enjoyed it for 8 years and we've done it for 8 years, is because I know the type of friend you are, and that you are the type of friend that will fall on the sword for somebody else as long as that other person is like protected. I know you do it for me. I would like to hope I'd do it for you, but you've represented it from the start of this season. And I know there's probably been times, if this was not somebody you've known, there's probably been times you're like, gosh, dang it, this is not good. And you'd probably be a little bit more pointed in your criticism. But because you knew her, you stood up for it. And I think that is admirable. And I think it's something to respect and something to notice. And I can be the one to say the things that are probably not like keeping things, you know, kosher. They're probably pushing the envelope a little bit because I'm just a fan here. I don't know her.
Yeah. It's been okay. Like, you know, And I'm trying to help her along as well, because, like, you know, I know how frustrating of a situation she's in. And I do think that the Instagram was also a mistake. And, like, we've been talking about, like, how she can utilize her Instagram right now and whether or not it's a good idea to even be on it, because it's kind of hard to win anyone over in the position that she's been put in right now. So I just feel like she should probably just stay back a little bit right now. But I do think that there's a little bit of a possible light at the end of the tunnel for her because of what may be unfolding tomorrow and what may have in the conversation that Leia has. I also don't think that the conversation with Leia and Medina in this episode is great.
I was going to say, I don't agree with you at all here. I think it just makes it look worse.
But I do think that it alludes that there is more to things than we got to see, because everyone is saying, like, okay, there's multiple girls saying, like, we were shocked that Sydney left. We're disappointed that Sydney left. And then we see Leia be so fiery about Maria. And I think that tomorrow we're going to see Jess get quite upset with Maria if we're going off the scenes in the next episode.
See, I'm going to say it was with Leia.
You think it's with Leia? Well, we'll see.
Do you know? Are you hinting at something here that you know of? Because here's the truth. And you and I have both been in this position. Even if Sydney has told you how this goes down, at this point in time, she no longer knows.
She has no idea how it's going
to
go.
Yeah. So we're all, you know, now we're watching from a fresh start. I think we have a lot to talk about when it comes to breaking down this episode, especially when it comes to breaking down the end of this episode. I just wanted to start out with this way.
But that's very sweet, but also unneeded to compliment that. Whoa. Of course, I'm going to stick through her through this. I've known her side of the story since she got home.
Sure. Sure. And I do. I think I've disagreed with you every episode so far, but that's what makes this great.
And she's not a liar. That's the thing. Like, what I want to get out there and what Sydney really wants out there, that's all she wants people to know, is that she's not a liar. Now, did she exaggerate things? That could be one thing.
What's the difference?
But I don't think, oh, there's a difference.
Okay. I also just don't think Sydney deserves to be
it's nuts,
dumped on here. It is nuts. And we've talked about it before. I think comparable to other seasons, I think the storytelling when it comes to the Maria Sydney drama lacked, because we didn't even really know a lot of the stuff that they were saying. So it does kind of make Sydney look like a liar, and it also kind of makes Maria at times look like a liar also, because we don't know the background to any of this. Their conversations with Joey and with each other are hinting at things that we never saw or experienced. And so we don't know what's actually happening behind the scenes. We're kind of left in this very confusing cyclone of drama that we don't even really know where it's coming from, other than the fact that the two of these girls just don't see eye to eye.
To me, everybody out there needs to assume, like, they're assuming that this content doesn't exist. Like, her saying, shut the fuck up, Maria saying that. People are assuming that that is a total lie because they didn't see it. So then I think you just have to step back and be like, okay, did it happen or did it not happen? Is she a liar? Or did they not show it? And I guess most people just think that she's a liar.
Well, I mean, I think there's just been moments here, and I do think the social media thing didn't help, where people are like, Sydney is making things out of nothing, and she's piling on with language, and she can't move on, and it's now become a twisted story that she can't get out of. I think that's the storyline that it's existing for the viewer, is it feels like, liar is a very strong word here, but it feels like, from a viewer's standpoint, I would say, without knowing any backstory, and I bet that is hard for you to do because you did know the backstory, is as I watch it, it does feel like Sydney got mixed up into something. She said things in the past like, I have to speak up for everybody else in the house. And everybody else in the house was like, no, you don't. And then she said, hey, Maria's saying this and this, and we don't see it. And it just feels like she can't move on from it. And so I think the perception from my side is that she just got mixed up into something, and she's got so far deep into it that now she can't get out of it.
So that you think she is making it up?
How would I know any different?
You just have to trust me.
But and I think I was getting closer and closer to that until the social media post came out. And I was like, this feels like one and the same from what was happening in the season. And now I have to go back to this just is like, this is, I'm not, I can't say that she's in the right here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what we should do is get into the episode. And then when things come up,
yeah,
I will point out certain things that I can at least say like, okay, so think about this and think about that.
Sure.
How about that?
I think that's great. But
okay,
I would also like to note that typically you and I together can see through these storylines and probably make sense of a lot of the things happening when episodes occur. I will note this. I don't see through this storyline yet. So I want you to point out stuff, but I also am going to push back as we break down this episode.
And that being said, I just want to reiterate that I'm not like condoning everything she did. I agree with you. Don't think she should have gotten caught up in this and then continued the cycle. However, as somebody who's been part of the franchise and somebody who has maybe a personality, maybe personality traits more similarly in line with Sydney than you in this aspect, like you and Jared, I keep comparing you guys because you're very similar. Like if you guys saw drama happening over there, you could firmly stay away. And I'm not saying I can't stay away if it's not mine, but if I am involved with it in any way, oh, it's going to be really hard for me to just let it blow over. We've seen me do this on TV. I can't let it blow over. And then, but it's not right. And then I think that there perhaps could have been some exaggeration, but I think what she's claiming that Maria said word for word was there. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Let's get into it.
Beautiful place Malta is. What an incredible spot to travel to. Can we just say that? I want to go after watching this episode.
Underrated. Never heard. I mean, heard of Malta, sure. But it's not like a destination that people are like, oh, yeah, I'm going to my honeymoon in Malta. But it looks like a honeymoon. Like, it looks like in Italy, which it's very close.
I like that the show tried to make a joke of this girl not knowing where Malta was. And the whole time I was looking it up on Google, where's Malta? Like, as her little clip goes, I've never been to Europe. Malta's in Europe, right? And yeah, that's how it moved on. And I think the show wanted us to be like, oh, how funny, they don't know where Malta's at. And at the same time, I was Googling, where is Malta? Because yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea where Malta is.
It's a little south of Italy, right?
Yeah, it's really close to Sicily. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a great place for really their first international trip. I'm glad they went here. It is one of, in general, as I look at this episode, I think the dates themselves were some of the coolest dates that the show has came up with in a long time. I think they were goofy. I think they were funny, but they were enjoyable. And they gave me a perception of what Malta might be like, or what the historical side of Malta is like. I enjoyed the dates on this episode.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And I enjoyed Malta. But we kick it off. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Maria and Sydney drama more as their episode goes on. But the girls end up kind of at the house in LA. They end up going to Malta. They're staying at the Intercontinental in Malta. They're all very excited to be there. That first trip on the show, like that first time you jump in a plane together and you go through an airport together, is one of the coolest experiences, because you want one, you're back out in the world again for the first time in probably 3 weeks. You haven't seen like civilization for 3 weeks, really. And now you're walking through an airport. People are noticing you because you're a group of, in this case, you know, 20 some beautiful women walking through an airport.
Cheerleading dance team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They tell us to say.
Yeah. We were the rugby team, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. We were a rugby team. And then they would look at me and be like, that 6'4" skinny dudes in rugby? Like, heck yeah.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand, and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works. And for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all. With 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
The first date is Lexi and Joey. Now, you've had high hopes for Lexi since the first episode of this season. You have been curious and excited about maybe what she brings to the table. So I had to imagine you were very excited when you found out she was going to get the first one-on-one in Malta.
Well, I really just want to look at her. Like, I just find her to be so beautiful.
Really?
Oh my God. She's
like
stunning.
the most stunning on this season.
A supermodel. In my opinion, yeah, she's the one I'd want to trade faces with.
Yeah. What a way to say that. That's great.
I think that that's just the best way for me to put things like this.
Okay.
So I actually didn't really feel a ton of chemistry on the date.
I would agree with you. That was going to be my follow-up. Okay.
I
felt like it was a good date. It was definitely not a date that makes me say these two are meant to be together. There was not magic.
No. I'm sure they had a nice day. The church thing was cute and them walking around was nice, but I didn't feel anything like super dynamic. And then she talked to him about her endometriosis, stage 5. It's like really serious. She must have been really suffering before that surgery. And that's like that. His response is fantastic. You know, the fact that he even like, that's a hard position to be put into. Like, I may not be able to have children. Like, how does this affect my potential going forward? Right. Like, that's just heavy. And her having to have that situation with her ex where he ultimately decided not to be with her anymore because of that. Whew, that's just like, you know, that is something that is like gotta be just weigh on you when you go into a dating environment. So yeah, I think they had a very connecting date in that sense of like they shared deep stuff. But I don't think that like this is going, and I think that's why she was so emotional.
Yeah.
And she was saying things like, I can like imagine Joey with me and la la la. But I think it was just because she let that out and he had a wonderful response to it.
Well, I feel for her because there's so much, I'm sure, kind of mixed into knowing this and then trying to communicate it, especially to somebody on The Bachelor. I'm sure this is, I mean, she hinted at it's something that is really hard for her. It was a very heavy moment. And I think Joey's going to respond really well because I just think he's a good dude.
But he's like so good.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's just going to, I think right now he's in it to find his partner. And if his partner just, you know, were to say, hey, I love you and you love me, let's do this life together, but here's something that you need to know about me. I'm guessing Joey is the type of dude that would be like, we're going to do it together then. Like, it's not ideal for you, but it's not ideal for anything. And so we're going to figure this out. You know, there's other options here or there's things we can do. That's just who he is. He's in it to find his partner, even though I know family is one of those main conversations. Having kids is one of those main conversations you would have. Take away from the moment where it did feel very heavy and personal and intimate, very vulnerable moment. And she did an incredible job walking through it. I just don't feel it between them. Every other part of the date felt like at this point in the season, we should be getting the butterflies and the kind of, I'm all over you. I can't like stop looking at you. And it just didn't feel it here. It just felt like something was distant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And I do want to just say that I think that with Lexi, like, down the road, if it's not Joey, it's going to be some man, the right man is going to want to be with you regardless. And you guys will figure out the family situation.
Yeah, no question. No question. When you fall in love and you make that commitment to your partner, there's 1,000 things that you're making a commitment to. And walking beside them in life is definitely one of those. And somebody's going to look at her and get to know her. and be like, we're going to walk this life together and we're going to carry each other's pains and we're going to love and celebrate each other when that's necessary. But really, I mean, a very like hard moment, I'm sure, for her, one that she probably was waiting to discuss and then probably felt good to get out there, but still doesn't take it away, right? That's the hard part here is I'm sure she's still holding on to this. And that's tough. So, but she got the rose, so she's still here. And as she's on this date, we do get a date card that lists everybody going on a group date other than Sydney and Maria. Not a shocker here. It's a 2-on-1. It sets up for a 2-on-1. It's been setting up for a 2-on-1 for four weeks now. And so they're going on a 2-on-1. The rest are going in a group date. And again, I just want to say this group date was one of my favorite group dates I can remember, mostly because of, I forget who said it. One of the girls said it at the very beginning of the day. They're like, they can try to give us goofy like outfits, give us all the goofy outfits you want, but we'll still rock them.
They looked amazing. I know. I was like, these girls look so good. Those outfits were really dope.
Yes.
Loved them. And like, I like the fact that this was like a kind of a physical challenge, but like a really funny physical challenge. And it was, they had different, you know, facets to it. There was the whole looking at each other in the eyes, which the girls who ended up kissing him, I'm like, no, just look him in the eyes.
I mean, I've always said this, you know, one of the things that I never wanted was to kiss anybody else in front of somebody else during the season. And I definitely didn't want somebody to try to kiss me in front of somebody else. So like that was kind of an unspoken like boundary. It just isn't necessary and it's odd. So just follow the rules here. However, this whole date was kind of about breaking the rules because then they go on to play some other games and then they have this sausage challenge. And I want to know at what executive producer meeting are they sitting in this room and they're like, hey, we're going to get all these girls in Malta. We're going to give them the outfits. We're going to play some games. I got the game they're going to play. We're going to take sausages and we're going to spin them really fast and we're just going to make them smack each other in the face and they're going to smell bad. They're going to be full of cheese and grease and it's going to be a really uncomfortable experience, but these girls are just going to get smacked with sausages and it's going to be great TV because honestly, I didn't think it was great TV and it did make me at home feel like sick to my stomach.
Yeah. Being pregnant and watching that, I was like, ugh, I do not want to think about sausages right now. And just the fact that they were like not grilled.
So gross.
Yeah, it was pretty gross, but it was funny. And I was just thinking about everybody's like spit kind of on them.
Sweat and spit and the dirt from the air. And just like, I mean, it was a really terrible thing to watch. It was really bad TV, honestly. It was not enjoyable.
You thought it was bad TV.
I thought it was bad TV. But
you just said you liked this date.
I liked the date other than this part. Like I thought.
But then all we really saw was the looking in the eyes challenge.
No, we saw them trying to steal like handbags off of each other.
Okay.
And I thought that was cool. And I honestly liked the knights that were there. Like I liked the one dude's like, today we're gonna do some like cool stuff.
That's what that guy was awesome.
I love it. I also really liked Autumn during this date. I know she ends up winning the day, and I was kind of excited because I felt like it could have been her coming out party on the show. But then she wins time with Joey, and it was the like you could tell.
What was that?
You can tell she's not going to make it very far because it kind of comes and goes so fast. It's like I get to spend time with Joey. We walk out here. It's so beautiful. All right, commercial break.
It was so weird. It reminded me of when Kendall dude was with, well, cut that out. I don't even remember this moment. It's fine. It was just like so telling that she doesn't have much of a future with Joey. But no. I wanted to hear them talk a little bit.
I mean, because her energy is really good. Her personality is funny. She obviously was like in it to win it. And I was hoping this was the moment we would say, okay, Autumn, you've snuck into our top three. But in fact, I think she really probably exists now towards the bottom because the show gave no time to their, you know, time away with each other. It didn't show any of the conversation. It really just kind of showed them walking off. So based on that, I can assume Autumn is not somebody that will be around a long time, even though I did respect her grit and determination. taking those sausages straight to the face when many weren't. I love Jess here. Actually, you know, the first week I was like, I feel like Jess has is going to get too much confidence and it's going to be kind of her downfall. We haven't really seen that yet. I was wrong on that. But then this date really made me go, I like Jess, like her just stepping back from the whole thing, her reaction to seeing a sausage again, her commentary.
That she was just like, no, not doing it. And I was afraid that Joey was going to be like, I would have preferred if Jess had really gotten into it, but that wasn't a thing.
No, he's like, I get it. Like, in fact, it's kind of gross to see any of these people doing this. I'd rather all of them just step back and be like, not for me. So that group date ends up with a cocktail party at night. Kelsey T shines bright during this cocktail party. Again, Daisy's kind of the definitely in it. She should be at the top of our list. So we get to see Kelsey T, though, really shine. She, I think this out of anybody, when I say like your coming out experience, this was hers after this episode. She definitely skyrocketed on my, you know, into my top three or four based on this.
Yeah, like he seems more into her than he is in Lexi.
I would, that's a great take. I would 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, right? I mean, she's captivating. She's funny. She's curious and inquisitive. And so their conversations are very back and forth. I think Kelsey T for me, we'll kind of wait maybe until after tomorrow's episode.
Yeah, let's do that. I don't want to rank people yet.
Yeah, but she's definitely like gone way up in my power rankings.
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, she gets the rose. Jess does say that she's falling for him. That's intense.
It felt a little early. Like I might have waited a few weeks.
There's always the one person who goes a little too early.
But maybe that's when I was feeling like her confidence was going to get kind of in the way of her experience. And maybe we're just seeing that's how she verbalizes kind of feeling uncomfortable and being like, I started out this thing and I thought he was it. And I thought this thing was over on night one. And we really haven't had any time together. We haven't talked in 2 weeks and I haven't really seen him and he hasn't been paying much attention to me. And so I'm throwing the Hail Mary. And we've talked about Hail Marys on this season or on this show before. I felt like this was almost a Hail Mary for her. It wasn't an incomplete pass, turnover on downs. It feels more like incomplete pass. It's still, you know, now it's 4th and 10. She's got a lot of room to make up.
Okay. It's a risk. All right. Well, now it's time for the 2-on-1. Before we start that, I do want to say there was one part where in the beginning where Maria does sort of admit that she has said things about Sydney, like called her names. Like the one thing is in like the first couple scenes of the episode, she goes, have I said she's going to look dumb? Yes. You know what I mean? So those are like kind of references to the fact that Sydney, she has called Sydney like names.
I don't think at any point I have ever not believed that there has not been conflict between the two of them. And there has not been conversations that are probably a little ugly or very ugly between the two of them. I just still feel like there's words being thrown around like bully and abusive that I feel like we're like, no, she just said you're going to look dumb if you continue to harp on this or however, whatever context it was in. And that's not really being a bully. That's just her saying how she feels like you're going to look. So not convincing yet. Keep trying. I'm not convinced yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess what about tone? What if somebody was like, you're dumb?
Again, it matters the context that we don't have and we don't see. Okay. And so if you and I were sitting together and you're like, that you're dumb, I'd be like, oh, she's just kidding. Like, that's just a response. However, if you and I were in a conversation that was heated and I was like, Ashley, I'm going to go tell Jared that you pick your nose whenever he's not around. And you respond with me, well, that's cool, but you're going to look dumb because he already knows it. I'd be like, that's fine too. Like,
I am not the lawyer here. You have a good lawyer brain.
That's why I'm not convinced I do think there were things said. I don't think they were meant as harshly as Sydney took them. And here's the cool part. Here's a compliment to Sydney. Maybe she's just so sensitive and she's such a sweet soul that anybody being mean to her just affects her so deeply and she doesn't know how to respond. Maybe that's what we're getting out of this. I don't know. I still just think she handled this thing awfully. Like she should, like as her coach going into the show, Ashley, I don't know what you're doing.
I told her not to do this. I told her not to get involved in any of the drama.
Oh my goodness. I don't know where you were at, but something was missing here.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that, so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all. With 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay, I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns, ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
So back at the hotel, obviously, we get now the validation that we knew was going to happen. Sydney and Maria are going on a two-on-one. Two-on-ones are always interesting. I do think they shake up the show. Ashley, you're an expert at the two-on-one experience.
The Bachelor loves the two-on-one. Do you love how awkward The Bachelor gets?
Yes, it's. I've been on a two-on-one as The Bachelor. It is awful. There, you don't enjoy any second of it.
No.
But this one, I mean, during my season, we did go on a boat as well. But this one, they stuck them on the tiniest boat possible. Like to where they were knees
the
were
two
all
of them
touching
alone.
Oh, that was too. Yeah, that was great. Worst. But you can handle that. I mean, you just don't talk to them. You're like, hey, there's no secret that you and I don't like each other. There's no secret why we're going on this. We don't have to talk. We can just sit here in silence. It's when the three of them are together that it's so amazing to me. And this is good.
I was
television.
In a helicopter with Chris Soules and Kelsey.
So
that was funny.
Tell me, Ashley, what it's like. Kind of leading up. So what do you think was going through these girls' heads as they're on the boat? Maybe they're in the car going to this two-on-one together.
I think both girls usually think that like they got it. Like there's no way that he's ever going to side with the other girl. There's just no way.
But
so you're feeling like kind of confident, if not like maybe a little cocky.
Sure. Okay. That's fair. But at the same time, you know how I see a two-on-one? You might as well go home right now anyways. Because have we ever known anybody that's gone on a two-on-one that's made it very much farther? Very much farther.
Very
that's terrible
much
grammar.
Farther?
Much farther?
We have to get Bachelor data to let us know this. Like how far?
Maybe one or two. Like, okay, we can probably assume there's been one or two experiences.
Wasn't Ashley Rosen? What was Ashley Hubert, wasn't she on a two-on-one?
Oh, Ashley. If
I think she, I think she was. It was the Ashley and Ashley best friends, and she got to third and became the Bachelorette. So that might be the one.
But okay, but they're best friends, so a different.
Yeah, that was like the spin on it was that they put two best friends together.
It'd be like sending two sisters on a two-on-one. Then, like it's different context. If you're in the drama, it's not good for you, and so you might as well just go home anyways. This two-on-one. Was unique in the aspect that it's not a surprise. Maria was trying to make it feel as normal as possible, and Sydney just couldn't function.
She was,
She could not function there.
No.
She should have just gone home.
Maria's a better, like, she's much better at acting.
Yeah, I also, maybe that. I also just think Maria probably, this was affecting her a lot less than it was affecting Sydney. I really think if Sydney just stopped, this never gets brought back up again, because I don't think Maria cared that much what Sydney thinks.
Well, I also think that just Maria has such more of a natural chemistry with Joey that it's easier to be on a date with somebody when, like, first and foremost, we connect. Secondly, I have drama with this girl. Whereas, like, I think Sydney probably knew in her bones she just wasn't. And, like, there's a line where she's like, I'm totally the one for Joey. I don't think she felt that at that point.
She said it. So, I mean, She said it at some point. I would say that Sydney at this point should have seen the writing on the wall, because outside of everything else, she has never had a conversation with Joey that we've seen. And we've seen a lot of her conversations that did not exist about, that did not kind of circle around somebody else. If it was Medina and the Age.
We didn't see anything. We hadn't seen anything.
We saw them sitting on the front steps together during a pool party.
Yeah, they were talking about.
Exactly. So any of their conversations.
Maria, that's what I'm seeing. I'm saying like we didn't see anything beyond her talking about Maria, which builds up the character for you guys to just have no attachment to this girl at all, besides not liking her.
Yeah, but how many conversations at this point could they have actually had?
Probably like four.
Yeah, four. And all pretty quick, like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So there couldn't have been a lot else. Like, we saw the one, so maybe there's three others sitting out there that we didn't see. But outside of everything else, Maria definitely had the strong connection. She had definitely used her time to make memories with Joey.
Yeah.
Sydney at this point, you know, is sitting there probably on this date feeling like the third wheel. And I feel for her in this moment, because outside of everything else, it's never good to feel alone. And I definitely felt like she felt like the kid looking through the window at the party she wasn't invited to. And she definitely did not feel like she belonged on this date or in that boat with Joey, who should be like kind of her rock right now, where she's like, at least I'm with Joey. I think Maria was just, and Sydney even said it. I mean, she said, like, I'm going on this date to get rid of her. Like, her focus was not on, hey, I'm going on this date to get some good experience with Joey. It's, I'm going on this date to still focus on Maria. And it goes to my theory. She got put into a situation she didn't know how to get out of, and she refused to get out of it.
I think it's a big reflection as to the fact that she and Joey probably weren't a match. And she wasn't really fighting for that anymore. She was fighting for the truth to be told about her truth to be told about Maria.
I'm very proud of you. You have found a way to work through this situation, and this will be one of the last weeks we're talking about.
I'm so excited.
I agree. It's got to be exhausting because you have looked for the good in all of this. You have stood up for her in a way that most people wouldn't. And I'm very thankful that I get to do this with you, because I know that's who you are. I just, however, think if it wasn't somebody you knew, you'd be like, this girl needs to go, and it wasn't good. And this experience was one of top five, like, hardest characters of The Bachelor to watch, because every week for the last 3 weeks has kind of been a spiral to this point.
So let me say that I find it interesting, I suppose, if I were able to watch these episodes through the lens of not knowing Sydney, because me knowing Sydney, and knowing her side of the story and everything, makes it just to me be like, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, it's not that bad. And I read these comments and I hear these messages left on the voicemail at her store. And I'm just like, I can't believe that people say these things. I can't believe the online bullying, but just like in general, I can't believe that people regard her as one of like the least like Bachelor contestants from like recent memory, and that she's like such a villain. I just cannot see it that way. Mm-hmm. And then I also just wish that you guys could see the person that I know. And like this serious, self-righteous, absolutely not self-aware, not humorous whatsoever person that they've been showing you is just not who I know at all.
Yeah. Well, here, you know, we've always said it. We say it every week, really. It's hard to not like somebody once you get to know somebody. I have zero doubt in my mind when Sydney comes onto the show that I'm going to be like, yeah, that was a raw deal for you. You know, you had the Olivia Caridi edit, and that's tough because I know Olivia and she's incredible. And I think their storylines in some way are similar, where they got mixed up into something they aren't familiar with. And this show chewed them up and spit them out, and it wasn't a reflection of who they are as people. So I have zero doubt about that. I've never doubted for a second that that is the case here. But I will also say,
yeah,
that, and I don't think we're ever going to stop it. I don't know, you know, you're never going to talk somebody into it. But the fact that people then are like actually mean and harmful and trying to hurt somebody outside of this experience in the show is wild to me, because The Bachelor at its best is a place where we get to watch people try their hardest in this super uncomfortable, super weird environment that nobody's used to. And we get to sit at home on our couches and be like, that's ridiculous. I can't believe you said that. That is hilarious. I'm glad you're doing that and not me. Yes. You are making no sense to me. But the fact that that would ever transition over to the real world and make people go, I'm going to take time out of my day to try to hurt somebody else or hurt this person or make sure they know that they suck, is one, not appropriate. Two, something I can't comprehend. Or, and three, honestly, if that's you, if you have those thoughts where you're like, I hate this person so much that I'm going to make sure they know that, you know, that I'm going to make sure to try to make their life even worse. Like, I want you to try to get some help, like get some help, because I'll tell you this, there's a lot more joy in the world when you aren't focused on trying to make other people hurt worse, but try to make people feel a little bit better. And so maybe try that technique. Like, when you start to feel all this hate and hurt and pain and anger towards this character that's, again, trying their hardest in this weird environment, maybe taking a breath and switching to, okay, I'm assuming she's probably not feeling great about herself in general. I can critique and I can talk about and I can ask questions about, but maybe I could share a little like love with her. Like, maybe I could just be like, hey, you know what? Yeah. Do I think you did great? If she was on this podcast now, I'd say, no, I think you walked this show in a horrifically terrible way, but it's not a reflection of how, like, me disliking you. It's not at all. It's just, I think there was better ways you could have gone about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Can I share with you a quote from one of these voicemails that was left on her work phone? And I know that Jared mentioned it because he like wanted to air it. And one of our producers goes, I don't know about the legality of us airing voicemails. I don't know. I think it would be okay if we bleeped out the name. One thing I notice is that a lot of the haters on Instagram and all the people that left a voicemail, they're all older. Like, they're all like 50s and up. And I just find that to be a weird trend. But a lot of the haters on... Okay, so let's leave that there. It's just kind of strange. You'd think that they would know better. You'd think that they'd have more important things to do. You'd think that they'd have children and like more sympathy and all that. Anyway. Well,
pain reflects pain. And so I think that's one also is Sydney has the ability now to speak into people that are hurting because they're the ones reaching out to her. Not, you know, somebody that isn't hurting in life doesn't go out of their way to hurt somebody else. That's just not how life works. It's not how like the human instincts work. And so people calling upon her and saying these things are probably experiencing some sort of pain themselves. The other side of this that Sydney could probably get some confidence in is these people will not be remembering Sydney's storyline 6 months from now.
Right.
Like, it's gone. It's come and gone.
Thank you for being wise, Ben.
What was the quote, though? You said you're going to say a quote. You can say it. I know you can say it. I can't hear the voicemail, but you can say the quote.
So this woman was like, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm 50 something years old from like whatever she stated her state. And then she goes, she went blah, 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 blah. You are a skanky bitch. The worst person I could ever imagine. La, 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 all these insults. And then says this, you're the kind of woman who once you get married and one day you'll eventually divorce this man and you will divorce him and claim that he has abused the children, molested the children. That's the kind of person you are.
Goodness gracious. Well,
I know.
There's a callus that Sydney will build up too, where she hears this stuff and she's like, that's just craziness, right? Like that just,
I know. I said like, it's just like, you need to laugh at that person.
Yeah. Well, and you also just need to know that those people calling her are not, they're hurting in life and this show is very important to them. And they are feeling like their value comes from that one voicemail that they get to leave. And for that, it's not the type of life I want to live. It's the type of life some choose to live or they get thrown into. But Sydney now has a touch on a lot of people that are hurting because they're the ones reaching out. It's just not fair to her to have this be such an impactful thing in her life. Again, as her coach, I would say stay off of social media. Don't post any videos that she believes are going to like revolutionize the way people think of her, because quite honestly, her story's now come and gone and people will move on. And by the end of the season, this won't be a topic that we even talk about. It will be gone. And you know what? I hope one day she can find redemption on another show where we can see the real or the better side of her, where maybe she does learn her lesson to not get involved in drama. I still think that's a great lesson for her to learn here. Stay out of it. She doesn't need to be the voice of truth for everybody, or doesn't even need to be the one that says, hey, I'm going to pick out the villain and try to get her kicked out, if that's what she was thinking Maria was. I stand by the fact that I think that she could have done better here, 100%.
Mm-hmm. As do I.
Yeah.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that's so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob.
At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
We see this 2-on-1. It doesn't go any other direction other than the fact that Maria stays and Sydney goes home. Everything else is kind of business as usual. Sydney is kind of stuck here. And again, this just really bad time of trying to get Maria gone. And Joey has too much of a relationship with Maria to really say goodbye to her yet, or even in this instance.
And they had the opera singer waiting to sing Ave Maria.
Well, I think the show probably knew what was going to happen.
They knew. Yeah. They certainly knew.
I think at this point, Joey went into this date knowing what was going to happen. I don't think anything was changing his mind. You do have a sense, I will say, of how this stuff's going to play out, especially like before you go on the date. I'm sensing that Joey probably knew that Sydney was not in a good place on this show and there was no getting her out of this. And it was just best if Maria stayed and Sydney went home. And it's good for Sydney that she went home. Honestly, I'm happy that we don't talk about it again. However, it doesn't end us talking about Maria and other girls in the house, specifically Leia, being very upset with her. So we see this cocktail party at the end of the episode. The cocktail party is short because it is a two-part episode. Medina is very nice to Maria, kind of says, hey, I'm happy you're here. You look beautiful. And Leia takes offense to this, pulls Medina aside, and pretty... And I I think this is where you and I might have to disagree, because I think Leia, just from hearing the stuff she was saying to Medina, I don't know if Leia is that much different than Sydney in this experience. I think they're kind of our two people in the same camp, because Leia says things to Medina that are incredibly hurtful. Like, hey, I guess I have higher standards.
I know, the higher standards for my friends thing.
Like,
I know.
And I have higher values. What I wanted Medina to say back to her is, I wanted her to question her on that a little bit. Like, what do you mean by that? So you are righteous. Like, you are self-righteous. You believe you know what's best. And as, you know, a famous philosopher once said, the lack of humility, I won't go into the whole quote because I don't even know the whole quote, but pretty much what it says is like lacking humility and lacking any type of ability to self-reflect will ultimately be the diminisher to any relationships. And Leia here in her conversation with Medina definitely put Medina in a corner. And I liked how Medina explained it. She said, hey, I'm just trying to be nice to her. Like, why would we continue to spark this drama flame that doesn't need to exist any longer? I'm happy that she's here, and I'm going to do this experience how I want to do this experience. And you have no right to judge me on how I'm doing this experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only point that I try to like use this moment, not the actual conversation, but like the whole like cocktail party to help defend Sydney is that like, I think it's obvious at this point that there are a few other girls that have issues with Maria, and it wasn't just her on her solo ship against her. So I think that there was other things going on that were ruffling the feathers of a lot of people instead of it just being like Sydney. But I do think Sydney took the mistake of being the spokesperson for everyone.
But that's where I'm confused, because originally we would have thought Medina was the one that was upset with Maria, because that's where this whole thing started from, really.
I know.
And now Medina is able to move on and be cordial and kind. Really, unless I'm confused here, Leia is the only one that's really now speaking out, and she's only really been the one to speak out on Sydney's side since the beginning. And even in Leia's conversation with others, she's like, I was very soft, you know, about how I explained it. No, you weren't. Like, you pretty much just told somebody they have no standards.
Yeah, she did say that she was soft, and I was like,
You weren't soft. You were really mean, actually. This was like a really hard conversation for you to have somebody. Like, if somebody were to come up to me and say, you know what, I guess I just hold myself to a higher standard than you do.
I know.
That's a really mean thing to say to somebody. So I feel like this has not convinced me that there's others. It feels like, and we're going to hopefully see it in this next episode, but we're going to see how this all plays out. Maybe I'm completely wrong. And yes, Maria is the flame that sparks controversy amongst this house. And we see the other woman coming out and being like, yeah, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. And then I'd have to take all this back. But at this point in time where I sit right now, this conversation with Leia Medina, if only thing justified in my mind that Maria's gotten under some people's skin, but only the people who she could get under the skin of. Everybody else is like, I'm cool with it. Like, she's boisterous and she is outspoken and she says things that, yes, could come off wild and maybe a little bit like intrusive, but she doesn't mean anything by it because that's just who she is. I did not think this was a validating conversation for Leia and Medina. I thought the stuff that was said to Medina was unfair. It was incredibly critical. And it was that, like, let me smile and put a nice, like, face on and tell you, hey, like, I'm just better than you.
No, I know. I completely agree. The first time I watched it a couple days ago and I skimmed through it and I was like, oh, well, this will be good for Sydney. And then I really paid attention to the conversation and I was like, oh, no, that's not good either. But I do think that Medina and then Caitlin, they did reference the fact that like everybody was kind of sad to see Sydney left. So I just want to let you guys know that she like obviously had friends in the house.
I have no doubt that she has friends.
That like people like did not think that she was this horrible person.
I honestly don't think anybody in this house thinks Maria's horrible or Sydney. And that's why this thing was so frustrating to me, because it, in my eyes watching it, it's like this is something that doesn't need to be existing, because there could be peace in this house. because I think everybody's getting along just fine. And Sydney, you don't have to fall on this sword because I don't think it's a sword you need to fall on. I don't know if it's actually existing.
Yeah.
That was been the argument the whole time, is you're making something that doesn't need to be happen. And yeah, she had friends in the house. I'm sure she did. I don't think everybody hated Sydney. I don't think everybody hates Maria.
Yeah. Well, we'll see tomorrow if there's anything that grows from this. And if there isn't, then like, I'm so happy to leave it all in the dust.
Honestly, it would make a lot more sense if we got more explanation for the storyline that has existed for the last 4 weeks. It is good to leave it behind us. It is not worth hating on Sydney for, because obviously, as we just mentioned, she had friends in the house. She was liked in the house. I think we could probably just take this one small example. And it does feel like it started from a Medina conversation that Sydney felt like she needed to protect Medina from. And now Medina's good and they're all moving forward. And it just spiraled into a place where she could not get out of it, or she could not find the right mindset to get out of it. And it ultimately led to her going home. And that's probably where we could leave it. There needs to be no other criticisms other than this just got really unfortunate really fast. And Sydney's storyline was not a good one.
Let me also just bring up one more thing, though. The comment of like, of Maria saying, shut the fuck up to Leia was brought up. And what would you, I would feel like those are kind of like fighting words. If somebody in the Bachelor Mansion said, shut the fuck up to me, I'd be like, no, I hate you. Now I hate you.
I might say to Leia after she tells me that her standards are better than mine.
It's a good comeback.
I could see myself being like, all right, these are okay. We can play this game. We'll get more explanation this next episode. I right now did not love the Medina and Leia conversation. I did not think it was a healthy, good one. And I felt like it was, to use a word, it was manipulated afterwards to be like, I was kind and sweet and I just had to say something to her. And it felt like it could easily become the thing that gets twisted now in this next episode, where people, again, audience members are going, how did this happen? Like, how did we get so far off track here? I think part of it could just be the fact that Medina's probably really hurt by the thing said, and she just chose not to confront them there, but she might confront them later. But we'll see. I don't know. I just don't think you can lean on, Ashley, this Leia conversation being a good thing for Sydney. I don't think it proves that at all.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Oh, goodness. All right.
Well, let's move on to,
we don't have anything else to move on to. I mean, that's the end of the episode.
I was going
to
say, let's move on to headlines. But guess what, guys? We do that another episode. So we'll see you there. And until then. I've been Ashley.
And I've been Ben. We'll talk to you soon.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.